gently rippling water appears. A title fades up, the 13th year. Beneath the surface of the water, a mermaid's tail undulates as she swims. Underwater, the view glides over a coral reef formation. The bright sun shines down on the surface of the water. Seen in silhouette, the mermaid carries a baby in her arms. The baby is wrapped in a blanket and a net. The baby coos and smiles. Beaming, the mermaid holds the baby close as her long tail pushes her through the water. A small fishing boat floats on the surface of the water. On board, a man snoozes with a fishing magazine lying open on his chest. The boat rocks gently as he sleeps. A word is painted in block letters on the craft's stern, defiance. Underwater, the mermaid swims past a fishing lure attached to a hook. The boat floats directly above her. On board, a fishing line goes taut in its reel, and the man wakes up. He adjusts his cap and glances down at the line with a furrowed brow. The fisherman eyes the mermaid's tail smacking the water's surface. He reaches for his binoculars and falls backwards in his chair. He stumbles to his feet and peers through his binoculars.
That's one big fish. Woo! That got to be over 100 pounds.
He climbs the ladder to his boat's steering console and turns a key in the ignition. He pushes the throttle forward and turns the steering wheel. The silhouettes of the mermaid and baby glide through the clear blue water. The fisherman lifts his binoculars. Underwater, the mermaid glances over her shoulder at the shadow of the fishing boat above her. The baby cranes its neck up at the boat. The fisherman eyes a sonar fish finder.
You can run, but you can't hide.
The mermaid hurries away from the fishing boat. She surfaces and hides behind a red buoy. A blip labeled "Locked on Target" disappears from the sonar.
No! Oh, where did you go?
She clutches the baby.
Where are you? Oh, I know you're out there. Come on!
The mermaid peeks out from hiding. The fisherman spots the buoy, which floats next to another boat.
Wait a minute. Oh, you want to play hide and seek, huh?
He accelerates toward the buoy. A sign on the boat next to the buoy reads, "Tiki." A basket hangs off the side of the boat. As the defiance draws nearer, the mermaid places the baby in the basket. She kisses her hand and rubs the infant's blanket. She swims off. The blip reappears on the fisherman's sonar.
Oh, so you want to run now? You know, if I didn't know better, I'd swear this fish was half human.
He spins his steering wheel. The mermaid flaps her fin as she swims. The fisherman spots her with his binoculars. Grinning, she locks eyes with him.
Mermaid?
Mermaid? Hey, it's a mermaid! Oh, this is incredible! Wait till people hear about this! Oh, I'm gonna be famous! It's a mermaid! Hey, mermaid! Hey! They're beautiful!
They wave to each other, then the defiance disappears behind a lighthouse. The mermaid smiles and shakes her head as she swims off. A sign near the lighthouse reads, "Hazard, submerged rocks." The defiance rests, crashed against a breakwater. With his cap askew, the fisherman gets to his feet.
What was that?
He smiles.
It was a mermaid.
He lies back and laughs. By the red buoy, the Tiki floats toward a sandy cove. On board, a blonde woman climbs a small ladder and wraps her arms around the man steering.
Hey. Okay, remind me why we came here again. start a new life, free from the constraints of a bourgeois capitalist existence.
See, I thought it was to start a tour boat company.
Yeah, well, you've got your reasons, and I've got mine. There it is again.
The man pulls a lever.
That noise.
What noise?
Listen, listen.
Oh, honey, that's just the sound of a baby crying.
They turn to each other.
Baby?
The baby is swaddled in netting.
Whoa. Honey.
Oh.
Oh, my gosh.
The man picks up the infant.
It's
definitely a baby.
Yeah.
He hands the baby to the woman.
Where did you come from?
So weird. How'd he get here?
I have no idea. Can we keep him?
She and the baby both look to the man.
Honey, this isn't a dollar bill you just found laying on the sidewalk. This is a living, breathing little baby.
Oh.
She cocks her head at him.
No, absolutely no. Come on, let's go. Here.
He helps her to her feet. The bell in the buoy rings as it's gently rocked by the water. The mermaid surfaces and sweeps her gaze around the cove.
We could call him Cody. It's my favorite name.
Okay, Cody it is.
She spots the man and woman walking along the sand with the baby. A large white house sits on a cliffside behind them, overlooking the cove. The view tightens on the mermaid's distraught face. She lowers her gaze before taking a final look at the cove and sinking back beneath the water. Words appear, 13 years later. On the back of a boat named Tiki 2, a teenage boy with short brown hair hauls a rope in from the water. The blonde woman calls down to him from the boat's upper deck.
Cody, let's go.
I got it.
Cody gazes at something floating just below the surface of the water.
Cody, hurry up.
I'm coming.
He takes another look overboard, shakes his head, and goes inside. The view slowly sinks beneath the water. Inside, the man who found baby Cody works on part of the ship with a wrench.
Ow! Oh. Cody!
Randy, Dad.
Oh. Listen, go up top, and when I holler, fire this baby up, all right?
Got it.
Good.
An old woman follows Cody.
Just one moment, young man. This is really unacceptable. For $5, I expect much more. We should have been underway 20 minutes ago. You know, the last boat tour I was on, we had snacks. You have snacks.
Cody's dad pulls a lever.
Yes! All right, Cody, fire it up!
Cody tries to start the ignition. In his father's work area, something sparks, filling the boat with smoke.
Whoa.
Man.
It's all right, folks. All I need is a hammer, a fire extinguisher, and a little duct tape. It's fine. It's part of being in the tour business.
Cody's mother gapes.
Hi, honey. How are you?
At an indoor swimming facility.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Mahone Bay Regional Swim Meet.
Hey! Anybody seen Cody?
Haven't seen him, coach. Maybe got tired of coming in second.
Good one, all right, hey, Marlins, focus. Remember, if we win this one, we advance to the state finals. No Marlins team has ever advanced that far. You could be the first ones. Now I need 200% out of each and every one of you.
He checks his watch.
All right, Marlins win on three.
They all stack hands.
One, two, three. Marlins win!
On board the Tiki 2.
Sorry, we're stuck. That engine's cooked.
If I miss this race, I'm cooked.
Well, I'm sure if you run, you could catch the ferry.
Great idea. See you guys later.
Okay, kick some butt, kid. We're going to try and get there.
Pace yourself.
Cody races down the dock at the swim meet.
Women's 50-meter breaststroke.
Listen, Cody.
Another swimmer shakes her head.
Hey, swimmers, take your mark.
The girl who asked about Cody puts on her goggles before the starting gun. Cody sprints through the harbor. He races by a Ferris wheel and under a sign that reads, "Welcome to Mahone Bay." A barrier arm blocks his path just as he reaches the departing ferry. Cody calls out to the ferry's operator.
Wait! Wait, hey, Pete!
Cody, sorry! Take the next one!
Cody ducks under the barrier arm. He looks both ways, then dives into the water. At the meet, the coach puts his arm around the girl who asked about Cody.
Congratulations.
All right, let's go. Men's 100-meter freestyle's next.
I'm gonna win this one.
Okay. I wish me luck, Sam.
Good luck, Sean. Oh, have you seen Cody? I mean, he's gonna miss his race.
Sean shrugs and walks away. Sam narrows her eyes and presses her lips together. On the ferry, Pete does a double take as he spots Cody out swimming the ferry. Mouth agape, he watches the speedy Cody swim. Cody reaches the dock and pulls himself out of the water. At the swim meet.
This is the race that decides which team will move on to the state final. Swimming in the men's 100-meter freestyle in lane one, Scott Middleton. In lane two, Ernie Collins. And in lane three, the current record holder, Sean Marshall.
Sean rolls his neck. Outside, soaking wet, Cody runs through a city street and around a corner. His coach checks his watch. Cody leaps over a sign that reads Mahone Bay Middle School.
Gentlemen, this is the 100-meter freestyle. Timers, reset your watches. Swimmers, take your marks.
Sam looks around anxiously. The official raises the starting gun.
Wait! Hang on! Cody!
Betty, give me a myocardial infarction. Slow down. Get your head together. Hurry up.
Relax. It looks like Grand Four won't be empty after all. Here comes Cody Griffin of the Mahone Bay Marlins, just making it under the wire. Well, this makes things even more exciting. Cody Griffin and his fellow Marlin Sean Marshall have had quite a rivalry all year long. They'll be swimming side by side in their quest for the gold.
What?
Your shoes! Your shoes, son!
Cody glances down at his sneakers. Smiling, he takes them off and waves.
That'll help. Thank you.
Once again, swimmers, take your marks.
The swimmers take their ready positions. They dive into the water.
Swimmers, this is from the Mahone Bay captain, Sean Marshall. He's in the lead, followed by his teammate and arch rival, Cody Griffin. And at the first turn, it's Sean Marshall back, quarter of the length. Sean is setting a blistering pace. The only swimmer that can keep up with him is Cody Griffin. At the second turn, Sean Marshall back
quarter length over Cody Griffin.
Sean looks unstoppable. What's this? Cody Griffin has turned on the tracks. He's closing the gap. This could be a race after all.
At the
third turn, it's Sean the lead. Cody is gaining speed, though. They're almost neck and neck now.
Okay, Cody,
Cody, Sean Marshall, this one's going to be close. Second
finish!
Ernie Collin is third!
We're towing the state!
Cody and Sean emerge from the pool.
Oh, almost thought I had you, man.
In your dreams, Griffin. Gold, silver. That's where I thought I was going to be. But hey, nice race anyway.
Sean celebrates with his teammates. Later, the coach carries a trophy.
What this means? This means we're going to the state finals. Oh, yeah! This is, and I mean this, the happiest day of my entire coaching life. I'm proud of you, team.
He gets choked up.
All right, now go home and get some rest, because tomorrow the real work starts.
Wearing a foam Marlin hat, a horn player bumps into a ladder and falls into the pool.
Somebody get that kid out of my pool.
Help! Oh my God.
Cody jumps into the pool.
Cody to the rescue. I can't swim!
Now you see what happens. You see? Safety first.
You okay?
Outside the pool, Cody helps the bespectacled horn player up.
I think I'm gonna make it.
Try to watch where you're going this time.
Sorry, just that my hat. Well, my head is slightly smaller than the average, and, well, I'll watch where I'm going next time.
He sees Cody walking away.
Hey! Hey, what about my horn?
His sousaphone lies at the bottom of the pool. Bubbles float from it. Outside, Cody walks with Sean and Sam.
I've never seen you swim so fast, Cody.
I'm not doing anything different. I just feel good in the water.
Hey, nice race, you guys.
Thanks.
Thanks.
A sports car pulls up.
Oh, that's my dad. You want to ride, Sam?
No thanks. I think I'll walk home with Cody.
You sure? It's a long walk.
Yeah.
She locks eyes with Cody.
I like to walk.
Yeah, sure. See ya.
Sam takes Cody's hand. A minivan pulls up. Sam's dad leans out the window wearing a Marlin hat and blowing a plastic horn.
Hey, what happened? Did we miss anything? Hey, are you guys an item now?
They let go of each other's hands.
If you hurry, you can still catch Sean.
What, are you trying to get rid of me?
They smile at each other and walk toward the van.
Hi, Sam. Hi, sweetheart. We're sorry we're late.
Your mom made me wear this outfit.
So how'd you guys do?
Now the Defiance moves through the water. The fisherman who chased the mermaid steers the boat. He pulls into a harbor and parks at a dock. Riding on the side of a building reads Big John's Boatyard. He strides along the dock.
Hey, fellas.
Well, if it ain't Big John Wheatley. You been out fishing again or looking for aliens?
Not aliens, Joe. Mermaids.
Mermaids? Yeah. I'd like to catch a mermaid. Maybe you can give us a little bit of that mermaid bait.
Yeah. Don't have any mermaid bait, Joe.
Well, John, how are we supposed to catch a mermaid if we don't have any mermaid bait?
You'll never catch a mermaid, Joe.
Oh, now, why's that? Maybe because they don't exist?
One of these days, fellas. One of these days, we'll see who has the last laugh.
Hey, Johnny. I know this guy doesn't believe you saw that mermaid, but I do.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. And if you find her, could you bring her over to my place? Because I'm playing poker with Bigfoot and the Easter Bunny and Elvis.
It's really good.
Big John enters a storage room. He takes a sack from over his shoulder and sets it on a wooden crate. Carrying his instrument, the horn player bumps into the doorway as he enters.
Hey, Dad, can you help me try out my sousaphone again?
Not now, Jess. I'm busy.
Jess lowers his gaze and leaves.
Well, let's see what we dredged up this time.
John looks through his findings.
Garbage. I can use that.
In a hallway at Mahone Bay Middle School, girls hang a banner that reads, Way to go, Marlins.
How's it look?
A little higher on the left.
Perfect.
Congratulations, Cody.
Thanks.
A man drags a student by the ear.
Morning, Cody.
Morning.
Nice race yesterday, man.
Yeah. Hi, Cody.
Hi. Morning, Sam.
Hi. You are so lucky to be dating Cody Griffin.
He is pretty sweet, isn't he?
Who cares about sweet? He's the most popular guy in school, which makes you the most popular girl.
Sam gives her friend a look. Sean and another boy approach Cody.
Feels pretty good to be big man on campus, huh?
I'm telling you, man. Feels like I'm king of the world.
You know he died at the end of that movie, don't you?
In class, Cody holds schoolwork with a red F on it. He shakes his head.
Hey, starting Monday, we will begin studying the creatures of the deep, marine biology.
Fishes and seals and plankton, oh my.
What was that, Mr. Griffin?
Oh, I was just saying how much I'm looking forward to marine biology.
His teacher walks away.
Not.
Now, the class will be divided into groups of two for this particular section. You and your lab partner will become experts on the mysteries of the deep. I have chosen your partners. The list is posted in the back of the room. Check it out and see who you're working with, okay? Get out of here. Have a nice weekend, class.
At his desk, Jess looks over his shoulder with a despondent look. Cody squints at the posted partners list.
Jess Wheatley. Hey, partner. Thanks for saving my life yesterday.
Sean puts his arm around Cody.
Looks like your luck's changing, man.
Cody steps into the hallway. Jess glances at the floor before trudging after him. Cody drinks at a water fountain.
Look, I know I'm probably not your first choice for a lab partner. You being you and me being me. But if it makes you feel any better, marine biology is kind of a hobby of mine. Which, when you think about it, is kind of pathetic. But anyway, whales, seals, walrus, jellyfish, hermit crabs, I know all about that stuff. So we'll be able to breeze through the project and I'll get out of your hair. Do you always drink this much?
Cody wipes his face with his sleeve.
So I'm thirsty. I've been thirsty lately. Anyways, what are you saying, Josh?
Jess.
Whatever.
If you're not busy tomorrow, maybe we can get together and go over some project ideas.
Tomorrow's kind of a big day for me.
Cody walks off.
Oh. What are you doing?
It's my birthday. You can come by if you want.
Wow.
At the large white house overlooking the cove, people sit at tables set up on the front lawn. The house is decorated with paper fish. Cody's mom sets down a tray of red cake.
Okay, everybody, it's time for cake.
Woo! Look at that.
There we go. Ta-da! Some for you.
What is it?
It's beet cake. Fat-free. Go, Sam.
Cody tries a bite.
Don't you like it?
He forces a smile.
Oh, of course he does. Yeah, and we all love your dairy-free tofu. I gotta paint that gutter over there.
Cody grimaces as he takes another bite. Sean sniffs his slice of cake.
Dad, I have to go get a drink.
Okay.
Sam watches Cody head inside, then follows him. Cody's mom bounces happily as she eats her cake. Cody's dad waves a bite of cake around his face before eating it. Sam takes a present sitting in a net hanging between pillars on the front porch and goes inside. In the kitchen, Cody fills a tall glass of water and drinks. Holding the present, Sam steps into the kitchen doorway. She smiles. Still drinking, Cody turns and walks over to her. He finishes the water and sets down his glass.
Do you think I forgot something?
The thought crossed my mind.
Happy birthday, Cody.
Cody unwraps the present, revealing a framed picture of Sam inside. He grins.
It's great, Sam.
There's more. But this one you don't have to open.
He lifts his eyebrows. Sam closes her eyes and purses her lips. Cody looks both ways, then leans in. Their lips slowly draw closer to each other, then flash as they touch.
Wow.
They both pull away.
That was a little weird.
Cody nods.
We could try again.
Maybe on your next birthday.
With a knowing smile, Sam turns and heads for the door. Cody rubs his lower lip. Sam steps back out onto the porch. Cody grins and shakes his head. Outside, Sam joins Sean and two other boys.
Hey, what's up?
Cody joins them.
Oh, it's the birthday boy.
Hey. That's cool.
Hey, Cody!
Cody's face falls as he spots Jess on a bike.
What's Sender doing here?
I told him he could come, but I didn't actually think he'd show up.
Cody waves to Jess.
Hey! Hey, Jess! Hey, Jess, you wanna go swimming with us later?
Jess frowns.
Sean, you know we can't swim.
So what?
I've heard nerds can float.
Dude, shut up, that's not cool. Stop.
Looking dejected, Jess rides over to Cody's mom.
Hey, are you another friend of Cody's?
Jess glances over at Sean, Cody, and Sam.
No, not really.
He hands her a wrapped gift.
Could you give this to him for me?
Cody's mom watches as he bites off. At night, a tilted view from the water shows Cody's house. A lamp in the home's lighthouse tower glows. In his room, Cody sets the framed picture of Sam on his nightstand.
Oh, look at him, Whit. Our little baby boy's all grown up.
Yeah, it seems like only yesterday our little boy was out in the backyard making mud pies.
Yeah. You know, I think that was yesterday.
You guys are hilarious. Real funny. Can you close the door on the way out?
Boy, teenagers are always so doggone cranky.
Man.
Yeah, I liked you better when you were just a kid.
Sleep tight, birthday boy. Starting now, your whole life is different.
I don't feel any different.
Oh, are you kidding? Now that you're a big, bad teenager, everything changes. Trust me. Hey.
He picks up Jess's gift.
Look at this. Forgot a present.
Thanks.
Happy birthday.
Good night.
Good night.
Jess.
A note on the gift reads, Happy birthday, Cody, from Jess. Cody unwraps the present, a hardcover copy of 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea. He opens the book and begins to read. Out on the water, the bell on the red buoy sways. In slow motion, the mermaid surfaces next to the buoy. She gazes at Cody's house. Seen from her point of view, the light in the lighthouse glows. In Cody's room, he sleeps with the book opened on his chest. Next to him, a colorful rotating light pattern projects on a lampshade on his nightstand. The view inches closer to the revolving colors. Everything goes white. A close view shows a rotating lighthouse lamp. In bed, Cody turns on his pillow. Outside his window, a light on top of the buoy glows, casting a long reflection on the water's surface. The view outside his window tilts and becomes air bubbles floating in the vast ocean. Seen in silhouette, Cody swims through the depths. Air bubbles float up from beneath him. He pauses, gazing at a bright light piercing the murk. The light grows larger and blurrier as it moves closer. Cody blinks hard and backs away from the light. The mermaid's silhouette appears and swims toward him. An alarm clock rings by Cody's bed. His eyes flutter open. Energy crackles as he presses a button on top of the clock. The clock's hands spin as smoke wafts up. Puzzled, Cody looks down at his hand. In the kitchen, Cody's mom sets the breakfast table. Cody comes downstairs and goes to the fridge.
Good morning, honey.
Breakfast is almost ready.
Okay.
Cody takes a carton of orange juice from the fridge.
Use a glass.
He chugs from the carton. He tries to set the carton down, but finds it stuck to his hand. He tries to shake it off, then pulls it off with his other hand. Cody looks down at his hand, then realizes the carton is now stuck to his other hand. He tries unsuccessfully to shake off the carton, then uses his body to pry it free. Wearing an odd expression, he stares at his hands. Cody's mother looks over her shoulder and notices her confused son. She looks down at her hands as well. Cody rubs his fingertips together. Moving her palms over each other, Cody's mom steps closer to him. Wit enters and regards his wife and son with a furrowed brow. He lifts his own hands and glances down at them. Cody drops his hands and looks up at his dad.
Am I the only sane one in this house?
Looking embarrassed, Cody's mother heads back to the sink. Elsewhere, clad in a scuba mask, Jess sticks his face into a pool of water and looks around. Cody walks over from shore and taps him on the back.
Hey!
Jess startles.
What, are you trying to give me a heart attack?
That's great. Laughing.
Sorry, Jess. What were you doing with your head in the tide pool?
That's how social outcasts spend their days. Find a nice spot and stick their heads in the ground. Ask any nerd. Makes the time fly by and it's good for the skin.
Come on, Jess, seriously. What were you doing?
I was studying the life in the tide pools. You may have noticed the other day that I can't swim. So this is as close to the stuff as I get.
Little snails and fish? You think they're interesting?
Yeah, you don't?
Just tide pools, right? There's a million of them around here.
Yeah, but each one's different. Come here, look.
Tiny fish swim in a tide pool.
A tide pool's sort of like a little miniature world. There's sand, and there's kelp, and there's sea anemones. You just have to look closely to see everything. There's the hunters, like the hermit crab, and there's the hunted, like the plankton.
Survival of the fittest in here, you know?
And if you're not tough, you get eaten alive. Kind of like the real world, huh?
Yeah, Miss Nelson was talking about this in biology. Tide pool is sort of like an ecosystem.
An ecosystem, exactly.
You know a lot about this stuff, huh?
Nerds don't really have friends. We have hobbies. Some pick Star Trek or Dungeons and Dragons. But I pick this.
At least nerds have high marks. I'm failing biology.
Really? There's nothing to it.
Yeah, maybe for a brain like you, I need a miracle to pass. Or maybe all I need is you.
No way! I'm not doing your work for you. Unless, of course, you plan to beat me up.
No, I'm not gonna beat you up. All I need is some tutoring. Tell you what, you help me with biology, and I'll do whatever you want.
Teach me to swim.
You serious?
Teach me how to not drown, and I'll take it from there.
Too easy. Deal.
Jess' eyes scales on Cody's palm.
Whoa! I'm never seen anything like that before. Well, I have, but on frogs and lizards and stuff.
Cody stares at his palm.
Cool.
At home, Cody washes his hands.
What's going on? What is this stuff?
Okay, this is perfectly normal. No need to panic.
His mom knocks on the bathroom door.
Everything okay in there, sweetheart?
Everything's fine. I'm fine. Why wouldn't I be fine?
Honey, are you sick?
No, Mom, I'm fine.
He glances down at his hands. Cody's mom walks away. Cody hesitates, then opens the door and heads for the stairs.
Cody, dinner'll be ready in 5 minutes.
What are we having?
Fish. Are you sure everything's okay?
Couldn't be better. Just wash my hands. Can never be too clean, you know.
No, I guess not. 5 minutes.
Cody takes his hands out of his pockets. The scales suddenly vanish. He breathes a sigh of relief, then heads upstairs. At school, Jess walks up next to him.
Hey, Cody. How you doing?
I'm okay.
How's, everything?
All better. There must have been something in the water.
Oh, really? Because I looked up your condition on the internet, and I found that lots of people have scaly fingers and toes. It's not that freaky. You know, we all look like frogs in the womb.
Really, frogs? Wow.
With tails and everything. Most of us lose them, but some of us are born with our tails still attached. Can you imagine?
And you think your condition's weird. Look, Jess, I don't have a condition. It's gone. No tail, no scales on my hands. So do you mind keeping it down a bit?
Sorry, I'm just not used to talking to people who have reputations to protect. Come to think of it, I'm not really used to talking to people, period.
Anyway, you want to get together after school? We can start the project and hang out.
Make some s'mores.
S'mores?
S'mores? Did I say s'mores? Who eats s'mores? S'mores are for kids. Scratch the s'mores.
It's okay. We work on the project. My parents are taking the boat out for a tour, so I guess we'll work at your place.
My place? All right, but I have to warn you. My dad's a bit, eccentric.
Everybody's parents are weird, Jess.
Cody heads off. Later, he follows Jess along the boatyard.
Wow. This is where you live?
Here? No.
Our luxurious summer home is being renovated, and we're staying here till it's finished.
This is where I live.
Cody eyes Big John's storage room and meanders over to it. Noticing him, Jess hurries over.
Hey, Cody!
Where are you going? You can't go in there! Stop! This is cool!
Cody, we better get to work. We're not supposed to be in here.
Get all this stuff.
It's, my dad's. He's in the, salvage business. Come on, Cody. We gotta go.
Who's your friend, Jess?
The boys turn around.
Oh, this is, Cody Griffin. He's a friend from school, Dad.
Oh, yeah. Your parents run the boat tours, don't they?
Yeah, that's right.
Hey, well, tell me something, Cody. Have your parents ever mentioned seeing anything strange in the harbor?
Here we go again.
How do you mean strange?
Abnormal. A creature that defies logic.
My dad did catch a cuttlefish that looked like Regis, but that was as strange as it gets. Do you really believe in all this? I mean, mermaids and stuff. Do they really exist?
Do they exist? I saw one, Cody. I saw one with my own eyes.
Come on, Cody. We'd better get to work on our biology project.
Nice to meet you, Mr. Wheatley.
Big John watches the boys leave from the corner of his eye. A hint of a smile appears on his lips. Outside.
Is he always like that?
Like what?
Cody glances back toward the storage room, then follows Jess.
Just tell me what to do.
I guess you can excavate the surrounding topography for indigenous hydrographic species. You can dig for seashells.
Jess hands him a shovel.
I knew that.
He follows Jess along the harbor. In science class, the teacher pops up next to an anatomy model's head. She holds papers.
Okay, and now what you've all been waiting for.
Please let me pass. Please let me pass.
Cody!
Here it comes.
Good work, Cody. You might just make it out of here alive.
His paper has an A on it.
Wow, so this is what an A feels like?
I wouldn't get used to it. Kitty.
In the hall, a long line of impatient students waits by a row of lockers. At the front of the line, Cody drinks from a water fountain with his eyes closed. A boy with spiky hair stares at him with his brow knit. Cody finishes drinking and wipes his face on his sleeve. He notices the long line behind him. The spiky-haired boy watches him walk off. In a classroom, students watch a teacher turn a rotating model of the solar system. Cody winces and takes uncomfortable breaths. He raises his hand.
Can I get a drink of water?
I swear, something's seriously wrong with me.
At home, his mom checks his temperature.
Not according to this. 98.6. Picture of health.
Mom! You don't get it. I don't feel sick. I feel... I'm always thirsty, and I keep shocking people. And I've been getting this green scaly rash.
Well, Code, I don't see a green scaly rash.
I only get it sometimes.
Cody pulls his hand away from Wit. His parents share a look.
Maybe I inherited some weird disease from, you know, my other parents.
Cody, I'm sure it's nothing to worry about. It's probably some bug going around.
Well, why don't we just make sure? Let's have Dr. Schwartz come over and take a look, okay?
What? You said the D word.
I know.
No. See, no doctor lays a hand on my baby.
Come on, Sharon.
Wait, you know how I feel about doctors.
They're quacks with stethoscopes.
We know.
Cody, whatever it is that's wrong with you, I'm sure it's nothing a little natural medicine won't heal.
Cody sits down.
Do you have a math test today?
Cody shakes his head. At night, lights illuminate the Ferris wheel on the harbor. Cody and Sam ride past it on scooters. In a restaurant, they share a table.
Acupuncture? You mean like your mom stuck pins in you?
Yeah. She's not a big fan of modern medicine.
Apparently. So do you feel any better?
I guess so.
Do you think you're contagious?
I mean, I don't think.
Good.
She reaches for Cody's hand. Her hair stands on end as she takes it. Cody stifles a laugh.
What is it? Is there something on my face?
No, it's nothing.
She lets go and her hair returns to normal. Cody takes her hand and it stands on end again.
Nothing at all.
Cody continues holding Sam's hand. Now, a fishing boat drifts through the water past the red buoy. In Cody's room, fish swim in a tank. He opens the copy of 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea with Jess's note as the bookmarker. Sitting at his desk, he reaches for a sports bottle and takes a drink. He tries to put it down and finds it stuck to his hand. He pulls the bottle off, but it just gets stuck to his other hand. Cody puts a hand on the wall and pries off the water bottle, but finds his hand has stuck to the wall. He presses his other hand to the wall and yanks his first hand free. Both his hands get stuck on the wall. Sharon joins Wit downstairs.
Mom, Dad!
They exchange a glance, then race upstairs.
Cody?
Sharon opens the door, then gapes. Cody clings to the ceiling, hands and feet stuck to the plaster.
I'm getting worse.
Call the doctor.
Doctor.
Now, Dr. Schwartz puts a stethoscope's diaphragm to Cody's chest.
Breathe.
Dr. Schwartz looks at his watch.
What does it mean? If he hums one more time, I'm going to clock him.
Mr. and Mrs. Griffin, it says here that you are Cody's adoptive parents, is that right?
Yeah,
that's right.
He eyes a document.
Cody, I'd like to talk to you alone, if you don't mind. No, not at all. Honey.
Wit leads his reluctant wife out of the room.
Cody, I've made my diagnosis.
At the pool.
Puberty! Can you believe it? Everybody else in the world just gets hairier. But no, not me.
Help!
Jess.
Jess uses water wings and an inner tube.
You're in the shallow end?
He stands up straight.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I stink.
Cody gazes down at his palm and sighs.
You want to talk about it? Huh? Maybe I can help. I haven't gone through puberty yet, but I'm still a pretty brilliant guy.
Jess, I'm no doctor, but does this look like puberty to you?
Jess rubs his glasses and gapes at Cody's scaly palm. Later.
Let me get this straight. You're generating electricity. Your hands are so sticky you can climb walls like Spider-Man. And your hands and feet sometimes turn scaly when you get them wet?
Yeah, but just sometimes.
Does anyone else know about this?
Well, I've been trying to tell my mom and dad, but they like live on a whole different planet. Otherwise, it's just you. Going nuts here, Jess. You gotta help me.
What am I supposed to do?
You said yourself you're an expert with fish and stuff, and this does look pretty fishy to me.
Maybe I can do some tests.
Yeah, that's it. Do some tests. Take some samples. I need some answers here, Jess, before I start sprouting a tail and start spawning upstream.
All right, we've got some work to do.
They head off along the harbor. Wearing a welding helmet and holding a torch, Big John emerges from the bridge of his boat. He lifts his mask, then nods and smiles to himself. Seen in silhouette, Cody and Jess sit at a picnic table by the water. Cody drinks from a gallon-sized bottle while Jess types on a laptop. At a table, a page in a book shows a drawing of a human arm covered in scales. Cody holds his scaly palm next to the book. Using tongs, Jess pulls a scale off Cody's hand and places it in a petri dish.
Interesting. Very interesting.
Now, fish swim in a tank.
Talk to them.
You, jump.
A fish leaps out of a tank and into Jess's arms. Jess falls backwards. Cody grins. In a dark basement, Jess takes a light bulb out of a drawer. He puts the bulb in Cody's hand and it lights up.
Use the force, Cody.
They pretend to wave swords. At the pool, Jess times Cody's swimming. At night, they walk through the boatyard.
Come on, Jess. You've been running these tests for a week now. Do you know what's wrong with me or don't you?
Well, I have a theory, but it's way too soon to tell.
He takes Cody's water bottle.
All I can say is you should probably stay away from water.
I can't.
Whatever's happening to you seems to get worse every time you get wet.
You don't get it, Jess. I need to be in the water. I can't explain it. Every time I'm in the water, I feel right. Besides, I have a responsibility to the swim team.
Cody, you can't.
For all you know, all this weirdness could clear up tomorrow, right?
Well, yeah, but...
The team's counting on me. The state finals are coming up. Until you know what my malfunction is, I keep swimming.
Cody walks off. Jess follows him. Later, the empty boatyard sits beneath the night sky. On a boat, the view glides past a stone figurehead statue and a sign attached to a gate that reads, "Stay out, employees only." Behind the gate, Jess stands at a desk holding a magnifying glass. He studies a page in a book featuring a black and white photo of a creature with a humanoid head and the body of a fish. Big John enters and puts his hands on his hips.
You take a sudden interest in mermaids, have you?
Sorry, Dad. I'll put everything back the way I found it.
Big John lowers his gaze, then looks back at his son. He reaches for a photo of a mermaid in silhouette.
You know, Jess, there's a pretty good story about this picture.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. It was taken by a Swedish oceanographer, Dr. Mats Neslund, October 5th, 1981. See, he was convinced that he'd actually seen a mermaid and that this picture would prove it.
So what happened?
Well, it took all of a week for the good doctor to lose every ounce of credibility that he had. Lost his job, his friends left him, his family deserted him. But you know, to this day, he will still tell anyone who's willing to listen that there are mermaids out there.
Do you believe him?
Are you kidding? This guy's a fruitcake. Total wacko. I mean, anybody can see that this is a picture of a scuba diver.
So, if it's a picture of a scuba diver, why do you keep it?
I don't know. I guess it reminds me that there's someone out there crazier than me.
You're not crazy, Dad.
Big John turns to his son and nods.
Thank you, Jess.
Jess nods back to him. Big John breaks eye contact.
Listen, you go ahead and feel free to look through that stuff. Just make sure you put it back when you're done.
Oh, wait, Dad. There's somebody in here I don't quite get. It says, young mer people can walk amongst humans. Their biological makeup is such that their aquatic physiology only manifests itself in the 13th year of life.
Well, see, that's one theory. When a mermaid reaches her 13th year, the fish half starts taking over the human half. Dude, what is this all about, Jess?
Nothing. I was just, you know, looking around. It's nothing. That's all. Wait, can I ask you something else?
I can't wait.
How long ago did you see your mermaid?
Big John's eyes go wide. He nods.
13.
Dad, I want you to tell me everything you know about mermaids.
White light flashes. Blurry green shapes come into focus.
What am I looking at?
This is one of your scales.
In a science classroom, Cody looks through a microscope.
This is a fish scale.
Jess shows another slide.
They look the same.
No kidding. If I didn't know any different, I'd swear they were exactly the same.
What does this mean? I'm a fish?
Well, not far off. Look, I'm not a scientist. And I may be taking a shot in the dark here. But after all the tests, well, you may want to sit down for this.
Cody stares pointedly.
You may want a second opinion.
Jess,
I think you're a mermaid.
A what?
A mermaid. Or a merman, I guess.
A merman? You think I'm a merman? There's no such thing.
I know it sounds crazy, but every time you get wet, you sprout scales. How else would you explain that?
What about this? I don't remember Ariel with this little ability.
He creates electricity between his fingertips.
Eels. They generate the same electric current that you do.
This is crazy. I know. I've thought of every possibility, but I just keep coming back to mermaids. All right. Let's pretend you're not absolutely nuts for a second.
Okie dokie.
And let's say that somehow I am
a fish boy?
Merman. People don't just become mermen. It doesn't make sense. A month ago, I was completely normal.
That's a good point.
Maybe I swam by some toxic waste. Or ate a mutant fish.
Sure, that's, likely.
Have I ever told you I'm adopted?
No, but it seems like a funny time to tell me why.
No, you don't get it. I think they may hold a key to this whole thing.
Cody hurries off. Jess looks through the microscope at the scales.
I still say he's a fish.
At home, Cody sits with his parents.
I need to find my birth parents. I think they might know why all this weird stuff is happening to me.
What's this all about, Cody? Why is this so important all of a sudden?
I've been trying to tell you. All these weird things that have been happening to me? Jess ran some tests, and he has this theory, and it sounds crazy, but I've been swimming so fast, and the dreams.
Dreams? What dreams?
I don't know. I'm swimming, and I'm underwater, and I don't have to hold my breath. And there's this glowing...
Honey, I'm sure it's just a stage you're going through.
Mom, this is not a stage!
Cody, Dr. Schwartz said that...
The doctor was wrong!
Cody goes over to the sink and turns on the tap.
Sometimes when I get wet, nothing happens. But other times...
He holds up his arm covered in scales.
Oh, my!
His parents wear shocked expressions.
Jess thinks I'm a merman... And I'm starting to think he's right.
Oh, Cody.
Merman.
Yeah, and if I am a merman, then maybe my birth parents, just maybe, they're merpeople too.
Whit and Sharon exchange a glance. Later, the family sits on the couch.
So you were in the middle of the ocean and somebody just put me on your boat?
Yeah. It was so strange. It was like someone left this incredible little gift on our doorstep.
Yeah, we went to the police, but nobody reported a missing child.
And we waited for months expecting someone to knock on our door and take you back, but they never did.
So, You became part of the family.
This is too weird. So someone or something just dumped me on your boat, and now 13 years later, I'm turning into a fish, and nobody can stop it?
Cody, you are not turning into a fish, and you are certainly not turning into a mermaid.
Merman.
Sweetie, we're gonna figure this out, okay?
How? Every time I get in the water, it gets worse. Next time I take a bath, I'm probably gonna sprout gills and a tail.
Cody, if it's water that's triggering these changes, you have got to stay out of it.
Your father's right. You're gonna have to avoid the water until we can figure out a way to make you better.
What about swimming? The state finals, the team.
Cody, this is serious. Now, until we can figure out what's causing these changes, you have got to stay out of the water.
But, Dad!
No, but, Dad!
Sweetheart, we know this is hard for you. You're scared, but promise us you'll stay out of the water.
Cody lowers his gaze. In his room, Cody's fish swim in their tank. Cody leans on his desk, resting his head on his fist, and stares glumly at them.
I'm one of you now.
He pours fish food into his hand and sprinkles it in the tank. Cody brings his hand to his face and sniffs the fish food. He tastes it. Outside, a tilted view from in the water shows the lighthouse beam shining atop Cody's home. Cody sleeps in his bed. In a dream, his silhouette swims through the blue ocean water. A piercing light flashes in the distance, growing larger as he swims toward it. The mermaid's silhouette swims into view. Cody looks up at her. The silhouette draws nearer. The searchlight flashes and the mermaid's smiling face appears. Cody wakes with a start. Daytime.
I'm not having our son turn into some sort of medical experiment.
Well, what are we supposed to do, Sharon? Just stand by and watch while he turns into Dolphin Boy?
Oh, good one.
We need help here. Maybe there's a specialist we can call.
A specialist?
Yes.
In what, Whit? Mermen?
Cody eavesdrops.
The minute anyone finds out about Cody, they're just gonna ship him off to some ultra-military medical facility. No, I'm not letting this happen.
That's not going to happen.
No way. This is very, very bad karma.
No.
Cody's face falls. He walks away. Now he sits alone on the beach by his house. Wearing a melancholy expression, he stares out at the water. The view inches closer to the red buoy as it rocks back and forth.
That's a bad idea.
Cody takes off his shirt and plunges into the water. He comes up for air. Below the surface, the mermaid's tail undulates as she swims. Her long, strawberry blonde hair moves gently in the water. Cody swims freestyle past the red buoy. The mermaid swims closer to the water's surface. She stops and stares ahead. She watches as Cody swims past the buoy. His body undulates with fish-like movements. The mermaid surfaces and peeks out from behind the buoy. Cody spins around.
Who's there?
She ducks back behind the buoy.
Okay. A little paranoid, Cody.
Cody floats on his back. The mermaid sinks beneath the water. Seen from below in silhouette, Cody kicks his legs and moves his arms. He eyes his hands.
Everything looks normal. Maybe I'm getting better.
He rolls onto his stomach and disappears beneath the water. Cody kicks his feet like fins as he speeds through the water. He does corkscrews and an underwater flip. Quickly moving his legs, he propels himself out of the water and high into the air. In slow motion, he falls back down and splashes into the water. The mermaid beams from ear to ear as she watches him. Cody emerges from the water.
Yeah! Woohoo!
The mermaid swims away. Cody swims toward the shore. He runs up onto the sand. He lies on his back, his chest heaving. He glances at his arms, both of which have sprouted fins. Sam approaches him.
Hey, Cody!
Huh? Oh, no.
I'm happy I found you here. What are you doing?
Oh, nothing much. Just kind of sitting and looking.
Can I sit and look, too?
No.
No?
I mean, no way I'd not want you to sit and look. No way.
Cody sits with his arms buried in the sand. Sam sits down and smiles, then looks awkwardly off to her side. Cody grins anxiously as he nods. Sam furrows her brow.
This is fun.
Cody nods again.
Come on, why don't we go for a
snow?
You know, you've been a real case lately, Cody Griffin. What is with you?
I can't tell you.
You can't tell me? You should be able to tell me anything.
Sorry, Sam. I just need some time alone.
Oh. Okay, fine. I guess I'll see you at the meet tomorrow.
She gets up to leave.
Bye.
She looks back at him and keeps walking. He pulls his finned arms out of the sand.
Truth is, turning into a merman freak.
Wearing flippers, two inner tubes, and multiple water wings, Jess approaches the edge of the pool.
I don't get it. Sometimes I change, and sometimes I don't. Am I a merman or aren't I?
Well, you obviously have some more important things on your mind. So why don't we just forget about the swim lesson for now, okay?
Oh, no, you don't. Come on, Jess. Jump.
I don't think so. I jump, I sink. Every time I go in there, I sink.
I'm right here. If you start to drown, I'll save you. I'm a merman, remember?
No way.
You're hopeless.
Yeah, but at least I'm not floating face down in the pool.
Look, I have to go ask Coach a few things. Why don't you get some guts while I'm gone?
Sean approaches.
Teaching the loser to swim, huh?
What do you have against Jess, Sean?
What do you have against Jess, Sean? Listen to you, Cody. What do I have against him? The same thing you had against me a few weeks ago. He's not one of us.
One of us? What are we exactly?
We are the team, Cody. We are the guys everybody wants to be. Not the type of guys who have to wear water wings in the pool.
Get a grip, Sean. Jess is my friend. If you got a problem with that, deal with it.
See you at the meet tomorrow, Cody.
Don't worry. I'll be there. We'll try to keep up.
Sean leaves.
The meet tomorrow? Are you nuts? Think about what you're risking.
You don't think I know? If I get into that water and I turn into fish boy, I'm dead.
So why would you risk it?
Because I can't let this thing run my life, Jess. I have to do this. It's my only way of fighting back.
But listen to your parents. I mean, if someone sees you, it's way too dangerous.
You worry too much. Look, I'll be swimming too fast for anyone to see me anyway.
He walks off. Jess turns to the pool. He glances in Cody's direction, then pulls up his inner tubes, plugs his nose, and jumps. At the meet.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the state final swimming championship.
In a corridor.
Well, this is it, team. State finals. Super Bowl of swimming. You kids have worked hard for this, and no matter what happens today, I want to say I'm proud of each and every single one of you. This, I mean this, is the it's the happiest day of my entire coaching life. Let's get out there and win some races.
Okay, let's do it.
Right.
Come on, guys, all the way.
All right.
The team enters the swimming area.
Woo! Hallelujah!
Yeah, here we go. Get your head together. Let's go. Come on. Get your head together. There we go. Whoever touches the wall first wins. Sam, please tell me you've seen Cody somewhere. You have any idea where he could be?
Sorry, Coachman. Cody doesn't tell me much of anything these days.
All right, get your head together. All right, let's go.
Sitting in bed, Cody flips through a book containing drawings of mermaids. His parents enter.
Hey, everything okay, champ? You feeling all right?
I feel fine. Even better than the last time you checked on me, 10 minutes ago.
Well, can you blame us for being a little worried?
I guess not.
Hey, look, we know it's really hard on you missing the big meet today.
It's no big deal, really.
You sure you're all right?
Mom, I'm fine. I just feel like being alone for a while.
All right, Mom and Dad can take a little hint. Let's go.
Okay, if you need anything, we'll be right downstairs.
Yeah.
Okay.
Whit winks and shuts the door to Cody's room. Cody pulls back the covers and hops out of bed. He grabs a gym bag from under his blankets and climbs out the window. At the meet.
The next race will be the women's 50-meter butterfly. All competing swimmers should be here to start.
Jess spots Cody by the entrance.
Cody, what are you doing here?
Don't try to stop me, Jess. It's only a couple of races. That's the worst thing that could happen.
Picture yourself floating in a tank on the Jerry Springer show. Come on, Cody, be smart about this. It's just a dumb sport. You swim up and down the lanes as fast as you can and try to touch the wall before the guy beside you. You smell like chlorine all day, and you wear swimsuits that are way too small on you. And you don't even have cheerleaders. At least all the other dumb sports have cheerleaders.
Are you trying to make a point here?
Yeah. Are you willing to screw up your whole life for this team?
Okay, I'll stop swimming.
Thank goodness.
Fellow
tomorrow.
Old Bay Marlin teammates.
Cody, hold it. Clamp, son. You're up.
Tony Griffin.
Let's go, let's go.
Cody lines up next to Sean and smiles at Sam.
The favorites for this one are fellow Mahone Bay Marlin teammates, Sean Marshall and Cody Griffin.
She smiles back at him and waves.
Okay. Winners, don't lose. Just as fast as you can.
You're going to look good in silver, Sean.
In your dreams, Cody.
Swimmers, take your marks.
The swimmers bend over. Jess shakes his head and covers his mouth with his hand as he watches. The swimmers dive in.
Very fast starts from all the swimmers, especially from Cody Griffin and Sean Marshall. Both swimmers are already pulling ahead of the pack, and they're coming up to the first turn, and both Marlins hit the wall with identical split time. And look! Unbelievable! Griffin and Marshall combined from the rest of the field. Two swimmers are such exciting competitors.
Cody's parents enter his room and look around.
He's not here.
Well, where is he?
I'll give you one guess.
Sharon bolts out the door. At the meet. Jess's jaw drops as he spots his father in the audience. Mouth agape, Big John lowers his binoculars. In slow motion, Cody swims the freestyle. His coach checks his stopwatch. Cody touches the wall.
Wow, what a race!
Sam cheers. Sean checks the scoreboard.
Ladies and gentlemen, Cody Griffin has just set a new state record. Unbelievable! Ladies and gentlemen, you have just witnessed swimming history.
Jess's smile fades as he sees Cody's arm fins. He hurries to the stands and blocks his father's view. Cody raises his arms in celebration. Sean stares at his fins. Cody grabs the timer touchpad in his lane. Lightning surges from his hands, causing sparks to fly from the short-circuiting scoreboard. Amid the confusion, Cody climbs out of the pool. He runs. Sean chases after him. Cody sprints into the locker room. Sean hurries in after him. Sean scans the room.
I saw you, Griffin. I know you're in here. I saw whatever it is that's making you swim so fast. That gold medal should be mine.
He looks around the seemingly empty room.
I don't know what your story is, Cody. But I'm gonna find out. And when I do, you're done for.
Sean hurries out of the locker room. The view slowly drifts up, revealing Cody clinging to the ceiling. Now Cody peeks outside. His parents pull up in their van.
Cody!
Cody's eyes light up. He sprints for the van. Sharon opens the door for him. He hurries inside and slides the door shut.
Is there something you'd like to tell us?
I won my race.
Sharon gives Whit an irritated look. The van drives off. Big John pulls up in his truck. Wearing a pensive look, he stops and glances back at the Griffin's van before driving away. At home, Whit uses a blow dryer while Sharon rubs Cody's arms with a towel.
I don't get it. It's never lasted this long before.
Whitty, are you sure that nobody saw you?
Positive.
I saw it! I saw what happened!
Cody's parents look from Jeff's back to Cody.
Pretty positive.
They exchange a glance.
Hey, Jess, what's going on at the pool? Are people talking?
How can I put this? Yes. Cody just shattered a state record and then disappeared.
I think Sean might have seen something. Anyone else?
Sam runs in and sees Cody's arms.
Oh my gosh.
Sam, I can explain.
She faints. Whit goes to help her.
Sam!
Cody's face comes into focus.
Are you okay?
Cody, I thought I just saw.
You did see.
He holds up his arm.
Cody, what's happening to you?
It's a long story, Sam. I don't even know where to begin.
He's a merman.
Everyone looks at Jess.
Well, you are.
Sam, honey, you have to keep this a secret.
Yeah, if anyone found out about Cody's condition, he'd be in a lot of danger.
Are you people nuts? You actually think that Cody's a mermaid?
Merman.
You expect me to believe this?
Why would I make this up?
Sam gets up.
I should go.
Sam, wait! It's not as bad as it seems.
Not as bad as it seems? Cody, you're a fish!
Okay, so it's worse than it seems. But I really need you now.
She flinches at his outstretched hand.
Look, Cody, I'm sorry. I promise I won't tell anybody, but this is too much.
She leaves.
Well, that went well.
Jess briefly lowers his gaze. Sharon glances at Whit. In a school hallway, Sam talks with Sean and another boy. The boy taps Sean, who looks up as Cody approaches.
Well, look who's here.
Sam, I've been trying to get a hold of you. We really need to talk.
I know, I've just been really busy and stuff.
So, Cody, we haven't seen our practice lately.
So I guess you haven't.
But, I mean, who needs practice when you're as fast as Cody Griffin?
What's your problem, Sean?
I'm just curious. I mean, you swam so fast at state. How'd you do it, Cody? Steroids? Pills? We'd all like to know.
I thought we were friends.
Tired of coming in second, huh?
Sean.
I guess cheating's the only way you can beat me, loser.
Sean shoves Cody. They grab each other.
Cody, Sean, stop!
Fine, stop!
Jess gets between them.
Freak it off!
Guys, knock it off! If anyone's gonna get beaten up here, it's gonna be me, okay? If you guys start beating each other up, what am I supposed to do between periods? Just sit around and not get beat up? How does that fit into my job description?
So pathetic. You've got Jess fighting your battles now?
Get out of our way, Jess!
Cody grabs Sean's shirt. A man with a clipboard approaches. The other students disperse.
Here's a stupid question. Is there a problem here?
The two boys glare at each other.
Well?
Cody storms off. Sam eyes Sean. Now Cody and Jess walk down to the cove.
I hate this. I can't go in the water. The team thinks I cheated. I'm losing all my friends? And Sam won't even look at me.
Could be worse.
I'm a freak of nature. How could it get any worse?
Well, you could be a half slug instead of a half fish. No, seriously. Someone could dash some salt on you, and you dry right up.
Everybody's ditching me, Jess. Why haven't you? A few weeks ago, I was treating you like a total jerk.
That's a good point. Why am I helping you?
Because you're a good guy. That's why. Don't know how I'd get through this without you.
Jess hugs Cody.
Oh, shucks, Cody, I love you too.
The two of them roll around in the sand. At night, Big John's fishing boat chugs through the harbor. Cody sits in front of a rotating lighthouse beacon. The teenager wears a dour expression and stares off. The red buoy floats in the distance, its beam shining in the darkness. Cody gazes out from shore. He stands, removing his jacket and shirt. Tossing them down, he runs into the shallows. Cody dives beneath the surface. Seen in silhouette, he swims through the blue water past gently swaying undersea plants. Up ahead shines a pinpoint of light. Cody comes to a stop and stares at the distant illumination. The light grows and blurs. Cody watches as the mermaid appears and swims over to him, her long hair undulating gently in the water. Smiling, she lifts a hand and beckons for Cody to come closer. As light from above sweeps through the water, Cody swims over to the mermaid, joining her in front of the bright glow. She holds up her hands, her palms emitting a glow in rainbow hues. Cody lifts one of his hands. The mermaid brings her glowing palm closer to his, which emits a similar light. With their palms inches apart, they both look up and spot Big John's boat passing directly overhead. The mermaid and Cody briefly lock eyes. He follows her up to the surface. Through binoculars, Big John spots the mermaid staring back from the water's surface. Her tail flaps up as she dives.
I knew you'd be back!
He looks again and sees Cody.
Oh, man!
Cody swims toward the shore. Big John lowers his binoculars.
Who'd have thought that?
Big John's boat floats away as Cody runs up onto the sand. He eyes the boat, then hurries away. Elsewhere, Sam lies awake in her bedroom. She looks over at the phone, but stays put. In Cody's room.
I can't come to the phone right now, but I promise to phone you back. It can be a really great message.
Sam. Sam, it's me. I really need to talk to you. Something just happened. Something I can't explain. Meet me at the cove tomorrow. Please, Sam. Please. It's important.
Sam reaches for her phone but doesn't pick it up. Cody hangs up and stares out his window at the distant red buoy. The light on top of it rotates. On Big John's fishing boat, he pulls a lever attached to a machine. A pulley hoists a large fishing net out of the water. Jess walks down a wooden ramp toward his father's boat. He waves.
Morning, Dad! What's that net for?
Well, mermaids, Jess! Mermaids! Yeah, see, nobody ever believes me. But this time I'm gonna have proof.
He pushes the lever forward and the net splashes into the water. Jess looks horrified, then runs off. At Cody's house, Sharon stands on a balcony painting an exterior wall. Jess hurries up to the house on his bike. He turns down the Griffin's walkway and screeches to a stop.
Mrs. Griffin! Mrs. Griffin!
Oh, hi, Jess. Is Cody home?
He went down to the cove a few minutes ago.
Is everything okay?
I need to talk to him!
Sharon watches Jess pedal off. At the cove, Cody sits on a flat rock, staring out at the water. Sam timidly approaches him. He holds up his hands.
Don't be freaked, Sam. I don't have fins. I'm all human.
Very funny, Cody.
She walks closer and sits down across from him.
Sam, this isn't something I expected. Shaving, my voice changing. Those I was ready for. This?
Why didn't you tell me, Cody? Why'd you have to keep it a secret?
Sam, we're in junior high. If somebody wears the wrong shorts, people talk.
I'm not people, Cody. I'm me. Yes, I am a lot weirded out, but who wouldn't be?
Remind me to introduce you to Jess.
She scoots closer.
I miss you, Cody. I'm sorry.
Don't be silly. I'm the one who should be sorry.
She gives him a quick kiss. He smiles slightly.
Come on. I want to show you something.
She follows him, and the two of them wade into the shallows. Cody's fins have reappeared.
Take my hand. It's okay.
She does. In the distance, the red buoy floats between them.
Does it hurt?
He shakes his head.
You okay?
Mm-hmm.
Cody takes a step forward.
Cody, what are you doing?
He raises a finger toward his lips, then smiles.
She's here.
Sam furrows her brow. Next to the buoy, the mermaid surfaces.
Cody, you mean...
Yeah. She's my mom. My other mom. I think she's here to help me.
The mermaid stares at them.
This is unbelievable. Cody, what's wrong? What happened?
Cody winces and doubles over in pain. The mermaid swims toward the shore.
We have to get you home.
Go get my mom and dad. Hurry.
Sam goes. From the water, the mermaid watches Cody. He gazes at his arm, then watches as one of his feet morphs into a fin.
What's happening to me?
Wearing an urgent expression, the mermaid swims closer.
Sam?
Someone throws a tarp over Cody. Jess runs down to the cove.
Cody! Cody!
He scans the empty cove.
Cody.
He spots his father's boat drifting away.
Oh no, Cody!
At the back of the boat, Cody stirs beneath the tarp.
Hang in there, Cody. We're almost in, buddy.
The mermaid follows Big John as he sails toward the boatyard. Grimacing, Cody scratches his fins. Big John parks his boat. Cody shifts his head in discomfort. Big John climbs down from the helm and hurries over to Cody at the back of the boat.
What's going on, Mr. Wheatley? I don't feel so good. I have to get in the water.
Don't worry, Cody. Everything's gonna be fine.
He drops a bucket attached to a rope over the side of the boat.
Gross.
Yeah, well, this should help.
He dumps the bucket of water on Cody's chest. Cody grits his teeth. Big John notices the mermaid swimming toward his boat.
There she is!
He hurries away and preps his large fishing net. Jess races over.
Dad, what are you doing?
She's out there, Jess! You get back here and you stay with Cody.
Jess pulls the tarp off of Cody, revealing both his feet morphed into tail fins.
Whoa! Cody, look at you!
Help me get into the water, Jess. I'm changing fast.
Big John works the levers of the machine and begins to raise his net. Jess tries to help Cody up.
Come on, what's he doing?
Big John's net rises off the boat. He positions it above the water. Unaware, the mermaid swims over to the side of the ship.
Your chance. Just a little bit more.
Cody looks from Big John to the mermaid, who surfaces.
No! It's a trap!
Get back! Get out of there! It's a trap!
Big John drops the net on the mermaid, capturing her.
Yes! Yes, I got her! Jess! Jess, I got her!
Underwater, she struggles to free herself.
We have to help her, Jess.
Yeah, everybody's gonna believe me now. Cause she's right in that net, I got proof.
Underwater, the panicked mermaid tries unsuccessfully to escape from the net. On the boat, Jess spots a sharp knife sitting in a toolbox. He grabs it.
Jess, what are you doing? Get away from there.
I can't believe I'm doing this.
He plugs his nose and jumps overboard. He treads water. Underwater, Jess swims over to the mermaid, who recoils in fear. He waves to her and begins sawing at the net with his knife. Big John frantically pulls the lever on his machine while Cody watches helplessly. Underwater, Jess cuts the mermaid free from the net. He drops the knife and swims toward the surface. The mermaid swims out of the net and follows him. On the boat, Big John reels in his net. Jess pops out of the water.
I did it!
Big John spots the empty net. The net comes free from the pulley and sinks into the water. Part of it gets wrapped around Jess's foot and starts pulling him under.
Jess! Hold on!
The net vanishes underwater. Cody struggles to rise.
What have I done? Jess!
Jess flails his arms as the sinking net pulls him deeper into the water. Still wearing his clothes, Big John jumps into the water. Jess continues to sink, his eyes closed. A bubble escapes his lips. Big John thrashes in the water.
Jess!
Cody swims over to Jess. He wraps an arm around his friend's chest and pulls him back up to the surface. Jess's foot comes free of the net. The two boys emerge next to Big John. Cody's parents and Sam run over.
Cody! Whit, help Cody! Jess!
Sharon and Whit pull Jess onto the dock.
He's not breathing!
Come on, Jess! Don't quit on me!
Sam, you breathe from when I tell you. One,
Sharon
two,
does chest
three,
compressions.
Four, five, breathe!
Sam breathes into Jess. Jess's mouth.
Jess! Come on, son!
One,
wake up!
Two,
come on, Jess!
Three,
four, five, breathe!
Come on,
Jess, breathe!
Jess!
Still not breathing.
Okay. Still no pulse.
Everybody stand back. Stand back. I have an idea.
Big John and Sharon back away from Jess.
Okay, Jess. This won't hurt a bit.
Cody uses his hands to shock Jess's chest.
Cody.
Come on, Jess.
It's not working.
Cody, try it again.
Try it again.
Cody shocks him again. Jess stirs.
Jess! Son!
Let's get him up.
Are you okay?
Oh, thank goodness you're okay.
He turns to Cody.
Was I dreaming? Or was your girlfriend just kissing me a second ago?
Jess.
Cody smiles. Jess turns to his dad.
I thought I lost you, son.
Everything you said about their mermaids, Dad. It was all true.
That doesn't matter. The important thing is that you're all right.
How'd this happen? What's all this talk about a mermaid?
Cody looks out at the water. Following his gaze, Sharon spies the mermaid swimming toward the dock. Sharon slowly stands.
Whit, look.
Everyone stands and stares. The mermaid floats in the distance.
Cody, is she?
Yes, she's my mom. My other mom.
She's beautiful.
The mermaid gazes at them.
She's just as I remember her 13 years ago.
The mermaid maintains her calm stare. Sharon crouches next to Cody.
What does she want?
She takes Cody's hand.
She wants me to go with her.
With a flap of her tail, the mermaid vanishes underwater.
She's the only one that can help me with my changes.
No, you're my son. I don't want to lose you.
I am your son, Mom. But I'm more than that. Look at me.
He holds up his scaly, finned arms. She touches his ankle above his flippered fin. In slow motion, the mermaid emerges from the water. Sharon and the mermaid look at each other. The view moves closer to the mermaid's face as she stares intently into Sharon's eyes. Sharon nods. Cody turns to Sharon. A tear rolls down her cheek.
She loves you, Cody. And right now, you have to go with her. But it won't be forever. She promises to have you back before school starts.
I love you, Mom.
I love you, too.
Sharon hugs Cody. Whit briefly shuts his eyes. Sam kneels by Cody.
I'm gonna miss you, Cody. Promise me you won't fall for any mer girls when you're gone.
I promise.
She leans in and kisses his cheek.
Don't forget anything you see while you're down there. We want to know everything, every detail.
That's right, Cody.
You got it. Thanks, Jess.
Don't be gone long, son. I love you, Cody.
Sharon and Whit hug him.
Be safe. I'll be back in no time.
Cody pulls off his shirt and undershirt and hands them to Sharon. She looks down at the clothes and holds them to her chest. Cody smiles faintly at her as he gets into the water. Holding back tears, she smiles back. Cody and the mermaid swim toward one another. On the dock, Sharon wraps her arms around Whit's waist and looks on. Whit puts his arms around his wife. Underwater, the mother and son approach each other in silhouette. The mermaid stops in front of Cody and lifts her open palms. The colorful light in the center of her hands glows. Cody smiles. He presses his glowing palms to hers, and a bright white light flashes. The mermaid beams at her son. They hug. Cody grins. His mermaid mother smiles, then swims away from him. Beaming, Cody looks up at the surface of the water. He swims toward it and rockets up into the air, revealing his new, fully formed merman's tail. Cody dives back into the water. On the dock, Sharon rests her head on Whit's shoulder. He smiles at her and kisses her forehead.
I finally get a friend, and he turns into a fish. This is so typical.
Jess.
Big John rubs his son's head. Cody pops out of the water and waves.
Bye.
Sharon and Whit wave back. Cody ducks back under the water. Whit smiles and rubs his wife's shoulder. Cody and his mermaid mother swim off toward the bright underwater light. Fade to black. This film has been described by Deluxe with funding by Walt Disney Studios, voiced by Mike DeBonis.